It's been rather interesting looking at Josiah. And I'd just like us to look at probably two or three kings even before Josiah came to the throne. Like Sue had mentioned, that many of the kings prior to Josiah didn't follow the law, didn't follow God's direction. They did their own thing, or actually it wasn't their own thing, it was they were influenced by the culture that was surrounding them, and they took on the beliefs and the practices of those people that God had told them not to. So they were doing something against, they were definitely working against or living against God's law. Okay, so if we just look at 2 Kings 18 to start with, and I got all my notes from the NIV and I'm now using the CV, but I think it should all pan out pretty much the same. 18, 1 to 8 to start with, and this is Hezekiah, and he's the son of Ahaz, it says. And he became king of Judah in the third year of Hoshea's rule in Israel. Now Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 29 years from Jerusalem. His mother, Abi, is that right? Is that a B? Yes. Was the daughter of Zechariah. Hezekiah obeyed the Lord just as his ancestor David had done. So he's Hezekiah. He's one of the very, very few who actually did obey the Lord. He destroyed the local shrines, then tore down the images of foreign gods and cut down the sacred pole for worshipping the goddess Asherah. He also smashed the bronze snake Moses had made. The people had named it, whatever that word is, if you've got a Bible, you can say that name, and had been offering sacrifices to it. So they took something that God had used to bring healing, and I guess something before the people to remind them of God and his power. Here they go, they turn it around and they use it as an idol. Hezekiah trusted the Lord God of Israel. No other king of Judah was like Hezekiah, either before or after him. He was completely faithful to the Lord and obeyed the laws the Lord had given to Moses for the people. The Lord helped Hezekiah, so he was successful in everything he did. He even rebelled against the king of Assyria, refusing to be his servant. Hezekiah defeated the Philistine towns as far away as Gaza, from the smallest towns to the large walled cities. So he went on and had success. But he must have had a hard start because of the way the situation was when he took over from his, I would imagine, his father, who would have done evil in the sight of God. Okay, now let's go to 20. Chapter 20, verses 21, which is right at the end, and going through to 6 in chapter 21. Verse 20 of 20. Sorry, verse 21 of 20. I'll start at 20. Everything else Hezekiah did while he was king, including how he made the upper pool and tunnel to bring water into Jerusalem, is written in the history of the kings of Judah. Hezekiah died, and his son Manasseh became king. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king of Judah, and he ruled for 55 years from Jerusalem. His mother was Hefzibah, maybe? Manasseh disobeyed the Lord by following the disgusting customs of the nations that the Lord had forced out of Israel. He rebuilt the local shrines that his father Hezekiah had torn down. He built altars for the god Baal and set up a sacred pole for worshipping the goddess Asherah, just as King Ahab of Israel had done, and he faithfully worshipped the stars in heaven. In the temple, where only the Lord was supposed to be worshipped, Manasseh built altars for pagan gods and for the stars. He placed these altars in both courts of the temple and even set up the pole of Asherah there. Manasseh practiced magic and witchcraft. He asked fortune tellers for advice and sacrificed his own son. He did many sinful things and made the Lord very angry. Okay, let's go down to verse 19. Amon was 22 years old when he became king of Judah. So this is his son. This would be Manasseh's son. He ruled from Jerusalem for 2 years. His mother, now there's a good one, Meshulameth, maybe, was the daughter of Haruz from Totbath. Amon disobeyed the Lord, just as his father Manasseh had done. Amon worshipped the idols Manasseh had made and refused to be faithful to the Lord, the God of his ancestors. His ancestors had worshipped. Okay, down to 26. No, there's no 26 there. There it is. Sorry, yeah. He was buried in Uzzah Garden. Soon after that, the people of Judah killed the murderers of Amon. Then they made his son Josiah king. And let's keep going. Everything else Amon did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Judah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king of Judah, and he ruled for 31 years from Jerusalem. His mother, Jediah, was the daughter of Adiah from Bozkath. Josiah always obeyed the Lord, just as his ancestor David had done. My goodness. Now that's only, what, 4 or 5 generations, in that there was 2 that actually obeyed the Lord. And I found it interesting reading some of that, that it was the mums who were named. Like, they were the son of, and that's the father, the previous king. But the mums are named, and I wondered why, because mums usually weren't as important. But in all of them, it seems to say their mother's names. And how hard would it have been for Hezekiah, for Josiah, and I think the other one was Jehoshaphat. He was a king who followed the Lord. That they've got this heritage of disobedience. You know, the fathers who are their role models, you know, most of them followed in suit. But then there was these other 3, at least we're looking at Josiah, who didn't follow in the ways of his father. And I think it brings out in my footnotes in my other Bible, it said that at the age of 16, Josiah faithfully followed the Lord. And I wonder if it was at 16, even though at 8 he was trusting God, but at 16, he came into that revelation and that relationship, that personal relationship with him. And I just wonder how much of an influence maybe his mum was, or there was others around him. You know, there must have been other people praying for him, and it came through. Now, that would have been, at that age, you know, you've got all these adult leaders around you and their influence and their disobedience and their heart being hardened to the ways of God, you've got to bring into play, into force, God's plan. And that just shows me how powerful God is, that he can use us. He can use someone regardless of the situation and the difficulty that they're in, the difficult circumstances that they're in. God can still bring through his plan and his purpose. And Josiah, well, it's interesting when they talked about Hezekiah and Josiah that David's name is mentioned. That maybe that's the spirit that they inherited was David, the spirit that David had, which was, as we always are quoting, David had a heart after God's own heart. And these two boys were trusted that. It was obviously deeply ingrained into them. And they came through in faith and were able to turn a nation around for God. Incredible. And as Sue brought out, how it was in Josiah's time that that the temple was in ruins and needed repair, and he organised to have the repairs begun. But it also tells us that in chapter 22, verse 13, he just doesn't have good ideas. He asked God. Now, what says here? The Lord must be furious with me and everyone else in Judah. This is after they'd read the scroll, I think. Because our ancestors did not obey the laws written in this book. Yes. Go and find out what the Lord wants us to do. He's asking his team to go and inquire of the Lord. And the five men went straight away and went to talk with Huldah, the prophet. Now, this was a prophetess. Her husband was Shallum, who was in charge of the king's clothes. Huldah lived in the northern part of Jerusalem, and when they met in her home, she said, "You were sent here by King Josiah, and this is what the Lord God of Israel says to him. Josiah, I am the Lord, and I will see to it that this country and everyone living in it will be destroyed." Not a message you would want to hear, that you would want to hear. "It will happen just as the book says. The people of Judah have rejected me. They have offered sacrifices to foreign gods and have worshipped their own idols. I can't stand it any longer. I am furious." Josiah, listen to what I'm going to do. "I noticed how sad you were when you read that this country and its people would be completely wiped out. You even tore your clothes in sorrow, and I heard your cry. So I will let you die in peace before I destroy this place." The men left and took Huldah's message or answer back to Josiah. The Lord, what verse was that? And I can see where God saw his heart. 18. Josiah, listen to what I'm going to say. "I noticed how sad you were when you read that this country and its people would be completely wiped out. You even tore your clothes in sorrow, and I heard you cry." I think there was a time of repentance that came upon Josiah's heart, and he cried when he could see what had happened and how God would have been feeling. He got obviously a sense of God's sorrow and pain. And that got me thinking that, because on Friday night we were looking at John chapter 15, where Jesus, just before he was crucified, had so much to tell the disciples. In John 15, he has to say what they need to hear, because he's going soon and he knows it. And I think he was trying to teach the disciples what Josiah, he already knew, that you've got to hang on to God. God's the one. He is all-powerful. He is almighty. His word stands forever. He is the one we need to cling to. And so let's just turn to John 15 and let's just look at Jesus' words, because I'm sure that this is what Josiah knew. He had to cling to God. And we have Jesus. Yeah, and it says here, we'll probably read down to 17, from 1 down to 17. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts away every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, but he trims clean every branch that does produce fruit, so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already clean because of what I have said to you." That's the word. "Stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you. Just as a branch can't produce fruit unless it stays joined to the vine, you can't produce fruit unless you stay joined to me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you stay joined to me and I stay joined to you, then you will produce lots of fruit. But you can't do anything without me. If you don't stay joined to me, you will be thrown away. You will be like dry branches that are gathered up and burnt in a fire." Again he says, "Stay joined to me and let my teachings become part of you. Then you can pray for whatever you want, and your prayer will be answered. When you become fruitful disciples of mine, my Father will be honored. I have loved you just as my Father has loved me. So make sure that I keep on loving you. If you obey me, I will keep loving you just as my Father keeps loving me, because I have obeyed him. I have told you this to make you as completely happy as I can." I'm not sure what the NIV said in that verse 11. Yep, okay. "Now I tell you to love each other as I have loved you. The greatest way to show love for friends is to die for them. And you are my friends if you obey me. Servants don't know what their master is doing, and so I don't speak to you as my servants. I speak to you as my friends, and I have told you everything that my Father has told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you and sent you out to produce fruit, the kind of fruit that will last. Then my Father will teach you whatever you ask. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So I command you to love each other." In the other Bible, the words is used remain, remain connected, remain, remain, remain. It just kept saying remain, remain, remain. And what does this one say? Stay joined. Don't disconnect. And Josiah had this. He had this conviction that with God it's possible. He grieved. He grieved for what was going to happen. But he knew once he saw that book and the words that were in it that it would come to pass, because God's anger was there for the sins that the forefathers had done. and we're in a place, I don't know how long you've been a Christian, but it's been a gradual process for me over the last 30 years to understand that to be connected is something that I choose to do. Yes, God chose me, but I still have a choice. And that understanding has been developing, that I have a choice every day of whether I choose to do it my way or I do it God's way. And it might be harder to do it His way, but it's best to do it His way. Jesus is giving us the answers that we need to put things right. There have been many, many things that I've done that are not been according to His will. But praise God for His grace and for His mercy and His forgiveness. And I think that's that repentance is at the moment when we repent. It's like we grab hold of the vine or the cross of Jesus and you hang on. But His forgiveness comes and links us. It ties us there, that forgiveness and that grace. And I think the, repentance is the first step. And we might have to repent more than once. It's whenever you do something that's wrong. And I don't think that God just sends you out to, you know, to the garbage dump because you've done something wrong. He knows your heart. But He wants us to produce that fruit. So He talks about pruning. He talked about that in that passage in John 15. He talks about cutting away the stuff that we might have carried from the time when we didn't know Jesus. It might still be within us that we need to deal with. And the Holy Spirit will reveal those things. If we're having difficulty with the same sin over and over again, maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need to ask someone to pray for us. And that's like a humbling thing. Know that we humble before God and we humble before each other. That we can trust one another to pray for us and to... Maybe they've got a word for us and receive that word. Yes, check it out. Test it with the word. But it's that being more open with one another. And I think the love for one another would then begin to grow even deeper. It's all a part of the staying in the vine, producing, you know, the good branches, and then the fruit comes. And I think the fruit will develop, the fruit will increase, the fruit will be of good quality because we're connected to the vine and God's in control. I don't know if all this makes sense, but that's what I've been seeing. Josiah inquired of the Lord. He didn't think, oh, well, God would say this, so this is what we'll do. He double-checked it at first. You know, he had it checked out. Hezekiah, it says in chapter 18, held fast to the Lord. That's how it was phrased in my book. Held fast. It was like this hanging on, this connecting has been there through these faithful people in the past that we have to learn from. And just going back to how do we deal with these things that, like, there might be issues that we've been struggling with from 10 years ago or even 2 days ago, that if we ask someone to pray for us, we still have something to do in that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to begin to transform our mind. It talks about that in Romans. And then in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will, not maybe, but will forgive our sins and purify us, and I've got there, transform our minds, from all unrighteousness. Philippians 4:8-9 says, tells us to keep our minds out of the gutter. That's my words. God will bring to our minds the word we need when we need it. But it has to be in there for it to be recalled. I heard someone preaching that one day. And that's so true, isn't it? We need to read the Bible, like Sue was saying, well, how do we know what God wants? We need to read the word. We need to be listening. We need to be praying and listening for the voice. We need to pray for one another. And I think there's that humbling thing comes in there as well. But then God can recall it when we need it, no matter what the situation and when it might happen. So we've got things that we need to do. God's done his part. He's provided the vine, you know, the tree for us to be connected to. And then it's our decision whether we connect or disconnect. And praise God for who he is and for his word. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have gone before us. And Lord, that we have this book, that the words that have been written down, Lord, are life. Life for those who are dying. That we can have hope in you, that in you there is eternal life. So, Father, I just pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to come and reveal, Lord, your word to us, that there be a cleansing, that there be a purifying, Lord, as we repent at any time and that we need to, that we would have a conviction in our spirit, that we need to come to you and let go of the things that might hold us back from you. Have your way in us, Lord. And we just give you our lives again. We surrender, Jesus, to you, and we hold on in faith. Lord, knowing that you are in control of all things. Lord, we put ourselves and our families, those that we know and we love, in your hands. And we pray, Jesus, that you will bring forth the fruit in our lives that may bless thousands, millions of others, that they may come to know you. Put their lives in your hands. Be forgiven. Be purified. And Lord, go on to be a witness for you, that in turn would bring thousands, millions into your kingdom. May all the glory, the honour and the praise be lifted to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour and our King, our vine, our Redeemer. And may your name be blessed. Praise your name, Jesus. Amen.